consuming fire. Come upon us and all your people. Reveal yourself to us, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Please be seated. Well, I'm sure that more than one of you figured out that singing Consuming Fire today, we were on this Pentecostal journey, we were going to be talking about the second of the three signs at Pentecost. First, that sound of the rushing wind, and then the tongues of fire that came upon each of them. And finally, the languages and everything breaks loose that gets us to that point where we want to be of having to the wonderful opportunity of dealing with that aftermath of Pentecost, that incredible ingathering. And if you think about it, there were 120 gathered there that day, and that's roughly what we have gathered here in the IWS community. When all of us gathered together, students, faculty, staff, alumni, family, that's 120, 130, something like that. So imagine again that glorious outpouring that took place when 120 go to 120 plus 3,000, then within a few days probably to another 5,000, so 8,000 plus however many are coming in daily. And you've got some aftermath that you're going to have to deal with. But how do we get to that place of the aftermath? And as you remember, we first talked about waiting. Waiting. Remaining or resting in expectation. Remaining or resting in readiness. And as some of us have felt from time to time, remaining temporarily neglected. Feeling temporarily neglected as we wait before that incredible revelation happens and the Holy Spirit comes upon us. We talked about the reaction to the wind, and some of you raised your hands and said you had been in harm's way with a tornado before, and everyone is always in agreement that it sounds like an onrushing freight train, and it's terrifying. And I shared with you what we do at our house, or our plan if we ever have that problem, those four little inside walls with no window, that little half bath, where we know our plan is to retreat there if we hear that coming. And our plan, all of us, when we hear that sound, the instinct is just to run, to try to get out of harm's way. And I wonder if our instinct is not the same way with fire. I mean, we've all heard horror stories of a fire in a theater or other enclosed area. Someone yells fire, whether or not there was one, and you end up with people trampled to death. Our instinct when fire is nearby, and if it's not in a controlled way, if it's not in a fireplace or a wood-burning stove or a neatly arranged little campfire, our instinct is to run. And I'd like to suggest this morning that our instinct when the fire of God comes to us, frequently it's to run, and I want to suggest to us that our instinct should not be to run. But as I suggested that we lean into that inrushing wind that terrifies us because of its sound, that we should begin to learn, allow the Lord to show us, teach us, reform our ways, to learn to lean into that fire and to welcome that fire. Our God is a consuming fire. We know that from Hebrews 12. He is a consuming fire. And just like we said about that wonderful lion Aslan the other day when the beavers were asked, is he safe? No, no, he's not safe, but he's good. The fire of God is not safe, but it is good. It will consume the baggage that we have accumulated along the way. And we all have it. We used the image the other day of backpackers having to help each other unload the baggage that they have on them. I referred to a testimony of a student, a glorious testimony, who came here with decades of baggage. And the fire of God began to move in that person's soul in worshiping, in hearing the word of the Lord. And that baggage began to come undone. And that student is walking without some of that baggage today. Maybe you've had that experience in your life. The fire of God comes and it terrifies us. We want to run. But it's not going to consume anything that is ultimately good for you. It's only going to consume the stuff that is bad for us that we tend to hold on to for whatever reason. I've certainly had my baggage. I bet you've had yours. I had some stuff in my life in the mid-80s that didn't belong there. I had some hidden sin. And I was very compromised. I was an elder in a Vineyard church. I was an executive in a Christian music company, husband, a father, but I had some hidden sin in my life. Some baggage that I was carrying that I didn't want to let go of. Some of our baggage we cherish, some of it we hate, but we hang on to it anyway for whatever reason. And maybe it's just because we're like those backpackers. We can't get it off. My wife was loving enough. She was devoted enough to the Lord and ultimately devoted enough, I think, to me to risk losing me and calling me to repentance. And one day she said, "Daryl, look." She said, and this would have been, a good 20-some, nearly 30 years into the marriage. And she said, "Look, we made a deal. When we pledged our lives to each other, we said we were going to follow Jesus together. We were going to be his disciples together." And she said, "You've changed the deal on me." And she said, "I really want to spend the rest of my life with you. I love you. I want to live out our lives together. I want to finish raising these two girls with you. But," she said, "unless you'll repent of this hidden sin, I am going to have to divorce you." Well, in a lot of ways, I'm a foolish guy. I've made a lot of foolish decisions. I wasn't foolish enough to lose her. And I owe her this incredible debt of gratitude because she reminded me that I didn't want to be foolish enough to flee the fire of God. And so I began to let those things go that had a hold on me. And the fire of God came in and began to consume. And it was a very, very friendly fire. I don't ever recall a more joyous period in my life than when that fire began to consume the things in my life that just didn't belong there. There's a wonderful verse in an old hymn, "How Firm a Foundation," that talks about the fire of God. And it puts it this way: "When through fiery trials thy pathway shall lie, my grace all sufficient shall be thy supply. The flame shall not hurt thee. I only design thy dross to consume and thy gold to refine." God doesn't want to destroy your gold, all that good stuff that you are, that he made you, that he put in you, that he entrusted to you. He doesn't want to destroy anything that's useful and healthy and wholesome and good. But the dross, the stuff that is weighing you down, the stuff that I think Jesus was talking about, at least one of the areas he was talking about, when he said, "Come to me, you who labor and are weighed down, those packs that you just don't need to be carrying, that baggage, bring that to me." I love the old folk song. I don't know if this was Pete Seeger or whatever. "If somehow you could pack up your sorrows and give them all to me, I could use them. You would lose them. I know how to use them. Give them all to me." I think that song, that folk song, whoever wrote it, if it was Pete Seeger, whoever, somehow had a word of wisdom. That's being sung from the Lord's perspective. If somehow you could pack up your sorrows and give them all to me, bring them to him, he'll just burn them up. He'll just consume them. That stuff that keeps us from him, keeps us from loving relationship with him, keeps us from loving relationship, appropriate relationship with each other. The fire of God is not safe, but it is so good. Let's welcome that fire into our hearts, into our minds, into our souls, into our work, our ministries, our relationships, into our thought lives, into our imaginations. Our dross will be consumed, and our gold he will refine. Let's prepare our hearts for a season of silence. Thank you.